Welcome to the Wrestling Brethren Podcast. This is episode 390. Tonight we will be talking about news, Raw recap, and NXT TV recap. With me tonight are Seth Zillman and Jared Aubrey. Fellas, how the hell are you?
Well, safe, because as anybody who lived in Gary Weedu knows, there was a tornado, and thankfully none of us landed up in Oz, so I'm here to do the show.
Yeah, you guys were sending messages last night, like, oh shit, please be okay, please be okay, nothing happened. So yeah, glad everything's good. We're here to talk wrestling once again.
Yeah, we ended up in our hallway, which is our most interior point of the house, twice last night. I had a dog that was going crazy, I had a 7-year-old that was terrified, I had a 13-year-old, like, whatever.
And, seems about right for the ages.
Yeah, so that was fun.
The only thing I'll add to that is, of course, you hear the sirens. Everybody in the States knows about those test sirens. You know, this is a test of the emergency broadcast system. When you hear those sirens go off and you know it's not the test, it's always a little disturbing.
Yeah. It wasn't Tuesday. It wasn't 10 a.m., well, no, it was Tuesday, but it wasn't 10 a.m. in the morning when the test goes off second Tuesday of every month at 10 a.m. So, yeah. The first one, right before the first one, Emily's like, do we have to go in the hallway? And we're like, no, we're good. And then, like, within 30 seconds, I was like, okay, now we have to go in the hallway.
Jeez.
Also, with those tornadoes and everything, we experienced a drop in 24-hour temperature from 50 degrees. It was 74 the day before, and when we woke up this morning, 24.
Yikes.
So that's fun.
That is Fahrenheit, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now that we've finish the Weather Channel portion of the episode.
You know, we're changing the tagline of the show. It's like we're wrestling and weather collide.
We now return to our regularly scheduled podcast.
Right. Yeah. Well, now we're gonna send it to the news anchor desk because we're gonna talk wrestling news.
There's less Nesman.
Yeah.
more music and more wrestling and less Nesman.
And I guess Raw and NXT will be the sports portion of the broadcast. All right, so wrestling news. The Rock announces his next several appearances on SmackDown leading up to WrestleMania. We will get 3 weeks of SmackDown in a row featuring The Rock, March 1st, March 8th, and March 15th. Now, he was just on the last live SmackDown 2 weeks ago, and if he would have just appeared in a backstage segment on the recorded SmackDown, which was recorded while he was in the building, we would have had 5 weeks in a row of The Rock. But no. Anyway, so it'll be interesting to see how we move things forward and what direction we're going in. We're going to get 3 weeks in a row of Hollywood Rock.
Well, it's good for the fans. I'm sure it's going to be good for numbers. It'll be interesting to see if any of them show up on Raw. But, I mean, given that Rock now basically helps run the company, I would imagine it would mean that it would be more appearances. And I'm sure he's got his schedule clear of movies and such to make sure he can be at the show. So, yep, definitely an exciting time.
I'll be all over this. I mean, you know, he cuts one promo last time on that live show you're talking about, and then all the theories come out. Oh, he's secretly going to turn on Roman and help Cody. So I'm just really looking forward to what he's got to say, and are we going to find any more hints between the lines, that kind of thing? Are they actually going to build up that thing? Is are we going to think that, but then he actually helps Roman? Like, who knows? So, yeah, I really want to see what The Rock has got to say. Want to smell what he's cooking.
Next news item. Former New Japan star Tama Tonga appears headed to WWE. Speculation is that he's going to join the Good Brothers in NXT. and possibly
and don't know it.
Yeah. And possibly on SmackDown in the AJ versus Good Brothers quasi feud that we got going on. So Bullet Club, that's not quite the Bullet Club, getting another Bullet Club member that won't really be Bullet Club. So yay.
Now, well, I've been saying for years that Tama Tonga has all the tools that WWE would look at for being a top guy. I mean, he's got a good look. He's athletic. He's not the biggest guy. He looks huge in New Japan because most of the guys he faces are smaller. But I think people are really going to like him. I think he's actually going to be pretty big in WWE. So, yeah, good for WWE, good for Tama Tonga in this.
I don't know anything about him.
He's Haku's son, for what it's worth.
Oh, cool. Okay. I didn't
catch that. He's a badass by proxy.
Yeah, right? He'll be headbutting people, and they're going to really die, or they'll headbutt him, and they'll get the sick end of it. I did hear Simon Miller, or see him show a video where he got chased by him or something. He looks scary enough, but yeah, okay, bring it on. I want to see what he does.
Now, I will throw this out there, and we don't know what his creative will be, but to clarify, he is Tongan American. He is not Samoan. He is not part of he's not by blood part of the Anoa'i family. However, The Rock has referred to Haku as his uncle, quote unquote, in the past. So it is plausible that he mingles with the bloodline. Not saying anything. I'm just throwing that out there.
Well,
all right. So, just so we don't have the Anoa'i hour, we're going to move on.
You know how I feel, Josh, is bring them all on.
Yeah, right. You're not official? I don't care. Add to the story, damn it. During Raw, they announced that 2K had announced the full lineup of DLC characters for WWE 2K24, which, of course, if you're familiar with the franchise, are fully available if you purchase the season pass. Otherwise, you could also purchase the DLC as part of a pack individually as they're released. Now, I'm going to go over the packs. I'm going to go over the DLC. But then I have a question for anybody who's familiar with the franchise, because I have only bought the season pass once, but I don't remember details of what I'm going to ask. So let me go over the packs, and then I will ask my question. DLC 1 is the ECW Punk Pack, coming out May 15th. Now, keep in mind, the game is releasing in March. The ECW Punk Pack will have CM Punk, Bubba Ray Dudley, Devon Dudley, The Sandman, and Terry Funk. DLC 2, called Post Malone and Friends Pack, releasing on June 26th. We'll have Post Malone as a playable character, Sensational Sherry, Mosh, Thrasher, Honky Tonk Man, and Jimmy Hart as a manager. DLC 3 pack, the Pat McAfee pack, releasing on July 24th. Pat McAfee and playable co-hosts from the Pat McAfee show. DLC 4, Global Superstars Pack, releasing September 20th. Jade Cargill, Nia Jax, Michelle McCool, Carlito, Kairi Sane, Lyra Valkyria, and Dragon Lee. And finally, DLC 5, the WCW Pack, releasing November 13th. Diamond Dallas Page, The Iron Sheik, Mr. Perfect, Great Muta, and Lex Luger. The total playable characters after all the DLC plus the original full released roster will be almost 250 playable characters, not to mention any online creative suite creations. That is insane.
That's almost as many people as AEW has in a roster.
Oh, snap.
Zing! Now, my question is this. With these release dates, even if you buy the season pass, do you still have to wait for these release dates?
Yes. Generally, yes.
That's crappy.
Really, the season pass is just a bundle to get you stuff.
Right.
Right.
Instead of paying for it individually.
Yeah, it'll be a little bit cheaper, likely, to get the season pass than it would to buy each pack individually. Although, after hearing you describe what's in each pack, it's like I would probably consider the Global Superstars pack and then leave maybe the last one for the Iron Sheik. But other than that, the Post Malone stuff, the Pat McAfee, like, not interested.
I know you're all over the CM Punk pack.
Yeah. That'll be the first thing I buy.
Well, the last one is releasing November 13th, and then 2K25 will be out the following March. So it just seems weird to have it wait that long.
Well, that's to keep you playing the game, right? And then, adding new stuff staggered. That's, I got new characters I can go back and replay value, right?
Right. All right. Next news item. AEW Dynamite set to receive a new logo and a new set/stage. It's set to debut the Wednesday following Revolution, i.e. the March 7th episode.
First I'm hearing of it, so I'll be interested.
Yeah, there's a leak of the supposed logo revealed on social media. However, it might not be the final version. Some people have said they've seen the style, but in a different color scheme. So it'll be interesting to see what comes on our TVs next Wednesday.
Is that supposed to distract us from the fact that we don't get regular, consistent appearances by people, and then people that don't even get to come on TV anymore?
I would like a new character or a new return of an existing... No, new logo! New logo for you. Okay, and we will be ending on some sad news, as the last two items are Four Horsemen legend Ole Anderson passed away at age 81, and Mike Jones, better known as Virgil in WWF, passes away today at age 61.
Okay, it's the first time hearing about Virgil, regarding Ole, I said this on my social media right when I heard, really shortly after I heard, was one thing about Ole Anderson is he absolutely positively did not care what anybody thought of him. And I've always respected him for that. That's kind of the vibe I think a lot of people would like to have, to be able to just kind of have this invisible finger to the world, you might say, and just not have a care about stuff like that. Virgil, obviously, we all know he wasn't the best wrestler, but boy, he was a hell of a lackey. he had talents in other areas outside of in-ring work. So I am a little saddened to hear that.
He may not have been the best wrestler, but he got a hell of a pop that one SummerSlam when he beat Ted DiBiase.
Yep. And does anybody do that spot better, where he's up on the apron and the babyface will shake the ropes and he flips and falls in on his butt? He was like the best there ever was as far as doing that spot.
Yeah, he was always great alongside DiBiase. I just tend to remember, and this is a sad thing remembering Virgil, is that I always have that picture of whatever convention that was, Comic-Con or whatever event, and he's got his merch table and he's sitting there, and then there's like nobody in line. There's nobody there. It's just empty, and Yeah, I was just going, oh, poor guy. But yeah, he was really good at what he did. He can't take anything away from his career at all.
And we wish the best and thoughts to each of the families of Ole Anderson and Mike Jones. On with our recap of Monday Night Raw from February 26th. The show kicks off with a Rhea Ripley in-ring segment that includes Becky Lynch coming out, and they have a little tete-a-tete about WrestleMania, and Rhea kind of puts her in her place. And as Rhea walks off, Nia Jax sneaks in the ring and attacks Becky Lynch. And that will come into play later as Nia Jax will be taking on Liv Morgan, who is also upset that she got squashed last week. And I'm like, well, then why isn't it a 6-on-1 match? Because she squashed everybody in the chamber last week. In the first match, Sami Zayn defeated Shinsuke Nakamura. I had a backstage segment then shortly thereafter with Sami Zayn as he's talking about getting back on the winning streak, or I'm sorry, the winning ways. And he's still trying to figure out his path for WrestleMania and how he can become a champion. Then he's bumped into by Imperium, including Gunther, who just stares him down and laughs in his face and walks off. Then Gunther has an in-ring segment where he's wondering who will step up and who will be his challenger for the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania 40. He mentions almost everybody who has already had a chance against him and those who may have a chance against him. So with mentioning all these names, it's starting to sound like instead of the original plan of Gunther versus Brock Lesnar in a huge one-on-one match, it sounds like we're dropping the creativity level down a little bit and we're going to get a multi-person, probably ladder match at Mania. It's not set in stone. It's not set on this episode, but it just with naming all these names, it sounds like this is where we're going. And that's just the longtime WWE cynic in me that's thinking that. We had a street fight that was damn good. I think it covered three segments of television, where Imperium defeated the New Day, and this was good. And if you want to watch just one match from Raw, the street fight is the one to watch. This was stiff and hard-hitting as all hell and very good. Adam Pearce had a backstage segment with Chad Gable where Chad goes over the reasons why he wants to challenge Gunther at WrestleMania. Prior to the Chad walking in, Adam Pearce was on the phone with Bronson Reed, congratulating him on becoming a father and saying, yes, he agrees and he will keep him in mind for being in the mix. So you got to imagine that Bronson Reed is part of the IC title scene as well. We had a backstage segment with R-Truth, The Miz, and DIY, where they seem to have called themselves Regeneration X, as R-Truth still thinks he's talking to the Cerebral Assassin, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid. Then we had a Drew McIntyre in-ring segment where he continues to be a troll towards CM Punk, and it's just great. He has a line where he says he got injured in the chamber. He got hit in the side of the head. And he went to the doctor after the match and told him he had a busted eardrum. He goes, Drew, you're injured. You might not make WrestleMania. And Drew goes, are you kidding me? Do I look like CM Punk to you? I'm going to go to WrestleMania. He has those good lines, and then he calls out Seth Rollins, and he talks about their match at Mania, and they have a back and forth, and it includes Drew begging Seth to not get involved with the Bloodline, and he needs to just focus on their match, and Seth, of course, takes the babyface route and says this is what he has to do. We get Nia Jax defeating Liv Morgan by disqualification when Becky Lynch interferes. Adam Pearce backstage with Becky Lynch gives her a match against Nia Jax next week. Liv Morgan comes through pissed off at Becky Lynch and says, you know, I had something go, I was in the middle of something out there. It's not always about you. So are we going to get a heel Liv Morgan? We had a Jey Uso backstage segment and he was interrupted by Drew McIntyre. They got into a brawl and we're going to get Jey versus Drew next week on Raw. And in the main event, Cody Rhodes defeated Grayson Waller. That was not the story. The story was that after the match, Paul Heyman comes out with three, what we thought was security guards at first, but he called them suspended NYPD officers. Now, they were in California, and why he had to call them suspended officers, indicating that they were rogue in some way. One of them was AJ Hinch, formerly of Tough Enough. So they didn't do very well to disguise who they were. Cody lays waste to the police officers. He ends up throwing a chair at one of them. And essentially says that because as Paul Heyman goes to exit, he calls Roman Reigns on one phone. And then he pulls out a second phone to call The Rock. I'm like, Paul, there's such a thing as three-way calling. You don't need a second phone. But anyway, Cody gets on the mic and he says, you call them and you tell them that the bloodline isn't hunting me. I'm hunting the bloodline. And it was later announced that Cody will be appearing on SmackDown to hear what The Rock has to say. So that was Monday Night Raw.
That was a whole lot of talking, not much wrestling on the show, but I'm okay with that because now we're doing the actual storytelling to Mania. So if you can get past almost the entire show basically being talking, it's a pretty good show. So I will give them that. I'll give them the, let them slide on the amount of wrestling time given that these are the big angles that would be going into the biggest show of the year.
Yeah, definitely the storytelling's picked up. Actually, one thing caught my ear there, Josh, and you mentioned a potential of a ladder match for the IC Championship. Have we seen, has Gunther been in Money in the Bank? Have we seen him in a ladder match before?
Well, I think what they might be doing is that match would be to determine Gunther's challenger. So I'm assuming, this is just my own speculation, I'm assuming they're going to do that match on night one and then the winner challenges on night two. And I know I'm not Josh.
In case anybody was having identity crisis. Gunther has been on Money in the Bank, but he has not been in Money in the Bank. As Intercontinental Champion, there wasn't really a need for him to be.
I just thought it might be interesting if they did do a ladder match for the championship, that to see him in a ladder match. I don't think I've seen that before, and it's got my interest.
Yeah, and like I said, it's purely speculation on my part.
Yeah.
Just going by history, but I mean, Seth's theory is plausible as well. That could be, or that ladder match could happen on a Monday Night Raw. Who knows? We shall see. Then we had NXT TV, and I'm going to only hit the highlights here, so this will be brief. Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows defeated Idris Enofe and Malik Blade. While Chase U does have a title shot next week, they're looking forward to facing the tag team champions. So whether or not the Good Brothers take the belts so that Bron Breakker can fully move up to the main roster, I don't know, but it's a possibility. Ridge Holland comes out to address the NXT universe and pour his heart out to explain his actions of late. But before he can do that, the lights go out. And of course, I saw some recappers on social media. One of them thought they were funny because the lights go out. He's like, "The Undertaker." And I'm like, "Yeah, no." But the lights do go out, and up on the Trons is more of the writing from these evil vignettes that we've been getting. And the voice, there's a voice that's reading them, and it sounds familiar. And we get a spotlight from the side that shows a hooded figure standing behind Ridge with a chair in his hand. And he smacks Ridge Holland with the chair. And when I say hooded, I don't mean a hoodie like Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso recently. I mean, it's like an AJ Styles type hood. And he slowly pulls the hood back, and the spotlight reveals that it's the chairman, Sean Spears, not Ty Dillinger, back with NXT. And they do refer to him as Sean Spears, even though you couldn't hear it at first because the crowd is going, "Holy shit, holy shit." And of course, with the USA Network, all you heard was, "Holy, holy, holy." And in each one of the silences was when Vic was trying to say Sean Spears, but all you heard was Sean. But he does come out later on to explain his actions and say that he will be there next week for NXT Roadblock, which is a special edition of NXT TV. So what's interesting here is that Sean Spears was behind the Evil and the Three Faces vignettes when here we were talking, it's Okada, it's Tonga, it's Julia, it's somebody from Japan, and it's Sean effing Spears. Now, I'm not saying that as a knock on Sean Spears. I love Sean Spears.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show people read way too much into things at times. It's a Japanese proverb. It's got to be a guy from New Japan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not. Anywho, in the main event match for the NXT Heritage Cup Championship, Charlie Dempsey, who is William Regal's son, defeated Noam Dar to win the Heritage Cup. And to end the show, we had a contract signing, sort of, that was originally supposed to be between Carmelo Hayes, Ilya Dragunov, but they were interrupted by Tony D'Angelo, who's interjected himself, and at Roadblock next week, we are getting Tony D'Angelo versus Carmelo Hayes, and the winner will take on Ilya at Stand and Deliver.
Well, so much for Carmelo saying he was going to get into the ring unless it was for the title.
Yeah.
I'm digging that Sean Spears is back, and I'm all the more interested that they're allowing him, perhaps allow is the wrong word, but, you know, they're allowing him to use the AEW version of his character as opposed to either Ty Dillinger or perhaps coming up with something new.
Yeah.
It's a little surprising, but I guess given Vince isn't in charge anymore, it's probably going to be more commonplace.
And it's a full circle moment as Shawn Michaels brought back Stan to be in NXT. And if you get that reference, then you're probably a heavy DX fan. Next week for NXT Roadblock confirmed, the Wolf Dogs, NXT champions Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin, will take on Chase U, Andre Chase, and Duke Hudson. In a surprise match that makes zero sense, but sometimes that's how it goes on NXT, for the undisputed WWE Women's Tag Team titles, the Kabuki Warriors will defend against Lyra Valkyria and Tatum Paxley, a team who has never even teamed together, all of a sudden have a title shot. which makes no sense. But anyway,
not the first time it's happened either. But
right,
won't be the last. Nice,
huh?
Won't be the last either.
Yeah, exactly. In an asylum match, which I don't think we've had one since Dean Ambrose and Chris Jericho, but Dijak will take on Joe Gacy. And as well as the aforementioned appearance by Sean Spears and the aforementioned number one contenders match between Carmelo Hayes and Tony D'Angelo. So I'm going to combine this into thoughts on NXT and any final thoughts.
Something else that has my interest is, and Josh, we need to clarify this for me because I caught all the NXT stuff on review and also watching ups and downs. But Thea Hall, is she about to turn heel or what's happening here?
Thea Hale of Chase U?
Yeah. Sorry, I said Hall. Yeah, Hale. Yeah.
I don't know if she's going to turn heel, but it seems like JC might be turning on her and leaving Chase U. Now that they already set up and established that the money has been taken care of and Chase U has a future, I think she may be going back to full-on heel and Thea will just be the plucky underdog still.
I think now, when she's pissed off more, though.
Now, I don't know, and I didn't want to assume, so that's why I finished out the thought, but I didn't know if you were confusing Thea Hale for Roxanne Perez, who does look like she's turning heel with her building and mounting frustration at not getting a fair title shot.
It's honestly probably me not understanding Simon properly and misconstruing what he said. So, you know, British and all that.
Cause British. All right. Well, you know, fair enough.
When he's making a point versus throwing out the tum tum references, sometimes it's hard to catch.
You were belly laughing too much and you might have missed something.
That pretty much where I'm going, yes.
All right. Well, my final thought is this. Yesterday was the 27th of February when this NXT episode aired, and the Royal Rumble was January 27th. And I would like to point out that I was only 30 days off of predicting the return of Mr. Spears, because as I had mentioned in my Royal Rumble predictions, his wife, Cassie Lee, formerly Peyton Royce, is pregnant with their second child, and daddy got to make money because diapers aren't cheap. So I had said back then that he was going to be back, and I was only off by 30 days.
Nicely done, Josh.
And then, of course, somebody online, I think it was Sports Kita, they're like, does this mean Cassie Lee's coming back to NXT? Dude. Oh. She's pregnant again. No.
Sports Kita is terrible, Josh. If I find out your website one more time, I'm going to fire you.
Sources tell me that. All right. Well, our next episode will be our review of Dynamite. It is Sting's final Dynamite, and it is the go-home Dynamite for Revolution. So until then, once again, thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing, and we will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. Visit the mothership, if you will, at twbpodcast.com, the online home of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter/X at twbpshow, on Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at the Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter/X at TheBaconRev. You can follow Seth at Lord Xandrax, and you can follow Josh at SouthpawJosh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon with more from the Wrestling Brethren.